We pray now you'd bless our time as we spend this time learning together about the truths of your word and the importance of your word in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for those who join us online in all their various conditions. And we pray for them, some to be healed, some to be able to be back home, and others just not able to be with us here. We pray that they might be encouraged by joining us wherever they are. And we thank you that they do that regularly. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, good to see everybody. Make sure you pick up the outlines at the back. I'm Pastor Mike, if you're a guest, good to see you. Those of you online, we're delighted to have you with us. These days we're talking about, you're going to have to bring this up a little bit. I can't hear it. I got it. If you can, my brother, a little bit more. Old age has set in. Either that or wax in my ears. Maybe it's both. Probably both. I want you to find your place in Luke chapter 8. And so these days we're talking about following Jesus. I have here on the board, and we gave you last week an outline of what we're talking about. So let me again go through this again. The line at the bottom on the left-hand side, ordinary events of life. That's what we're all doing tonight. We're doing life with all of its trials and temptations and challenges and tests. And so the line is going up toward the action and work of the Holy Spirit, which is meeting the Holy Spirit, and then it descends down to this line that is horizontal, which has to do with the disciplines that we practice as a part of developing in us the mind of Christ and Christ-likeness. So it requires trials and troubles and temptations and the way we handle them. It requires the work of the Holy Spirit, who is given to us when we're saved, so that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us the Word of God and give us direction how to live and help us in all the aspects of our Christian life. And then we have these planned disciplines of putting on a new heart. And we spent last week looking at the book of Colossians, and so I can't repeat that, so I'll refer you to you can listen to that on the podcast, you can listen to it, you can look up the materials on the website. That's the best I can do on that. So tonight we begin to work on these, what I call putting on a new heart has to do with spiritual and holy habits. So we're talking about spiritual habits that all of us need as a result of being believers in Jesus Christ. So tonight we start with the first of the habits, and this week and next week we'll talk about Bible habits. Bible habits. So it's important for you, and we had a great group at noontime. We have this Bible study both at noon and then at night. And that's gives more of our people an opportunity to come. Good group there. Great to see all of you here tonight. Invite anybody who might be interested to come join us, to be with us. We'll be working on these holy habits and talking about them for quite a while, Lord willing. So I want to begin by asking you this question. How do you use your Bible? How do you use your Bible? I'm assuming that you have a Bible. As a result of being in this church all these days, you know our ministry plans, they center around teaching our people the Word of God and how to practice the habits, Bible habits, that help us become like Jesus Christ. So I'm not goading you tonight, but I'm going to challenge you with some questions tonight. You need to answer them honestly about where you are. How do you use your Bible? Do you use it at all? I'll make sure that next week, and I'll give Terry the assignment, text me after this is over tonight and remind me that next week, I don't want to assume anything. I want to make sure that I give on the outline a note about some of the key translations, Terry. If you'll just text me, Terry and I do that back and forth, so that'll help me, and I just don't want to forget. Because it's important for you to find a Bible that you can read and that you can use. So how do you use your Bible? it's hard to dig a hole without a shovel. It's hard to eat your food without utensils. How do you use your Bible? I've been at this a long time, a lot of places, and it's always interesting to me. So tonight we begin by listening to what the Lord Jesus says about this. Now, I've shared with you many times, I came from Colorado Springs where I'd been with the Navigators, and I'm thankful for the time there. There's an outline that you have here. And again, look, you may be the smartest person about the Bible and have advanced degrees and been doing this forever, but you know, we're going to put all this information right down on the shelf where everybody can get it. So if we're too simple for you, I apologize, but that's what we're going to get. There's something that the Navigators do when they're teaching new Christians about how to use their Bible. They talk about getting a grip on God's Word. Notice I'm gripping it. You get a grip on God's Word. It's easier and it's better to grip your Bible with all your fingers and your thumb than just part of them. So if you'll notice here, these are the five habits that we're going to talk about, and I'm going to elaborate on them this week and next week, so you know what's coming. So the first habit is our Bible habits, or some call Bible intake. I prefer Bible habits. The Pharisees had Bible habits, and they spent all their time arguing with the Lord Jesus about His Bible habits. Lots of people have read the Bible and think they know about the Bible, but they don't understand the nature of it. So when we get a good grasp of the Word of God, there are five habits. We hear God's Word. We read God's Word. We study God's Word. We memorize God's Word. And then we meditate on God's Word. All of these, remember, how am I going to put on a new heart? How am I going to crucify the flesh when it rises up? How am I going to have enough endurance to make it when I'm going through hard trials? Well, it's because of the habits I have around practicing and using my Bible. Amen. This is the essential. Amen. So those of you who are preachers and teachers, to those of you who've just come and gotten serious in your Christian life, everybody here, including the person speaking to you, have Bible practices. How do you use your Bible? Or maybe, how are you using your Bible? Well, we begin, first of all, with this passage here. Luke chapter 8. Soon afterwards, he began, that is, the Lord Jesus began going around from one city and village to another. Notice, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. He's preaching and teaching. That's what the Lord did. I love being a preacher. I love doing what Jesus did. Amen. He preached. He was a preacher. He preached the Word of God. He preached repentance. And he preached faith in Jesus Christ and himself, and trusting in God, the Father, had sent the Son. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Susa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. So we have this group that's following. They're already following the Lord Jesus, but he's preaching. And so when a large crowd was coming together, verse 4, and those from various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some seed fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot. The birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. And as he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you have ears, they're meant to hear. Amen. So hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Can you, in your imagination now, the Lord is making points. He's preaching about the kingdom of God and he's pausing. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is about hearing. Spiritual listening. The disciples began to question him as to what this parable meant. He said, let's read it carefully tonight. Some of you, oh, I already know this. No, read it again. God's word is always good for you every time.
Amen.
Disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, to you it's been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it's in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not hear and understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Let's read it carefully. Let's listen. Those beside the road are those who have heard the word of God. Then the devil comes. So there's a spiritual, there's something happens when God's word is preached, and the evil one is involved in this activity. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. There's spiritual conflict that goes on when the word of God is preached. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, but in time of temptation, they fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries, riches, pleasures in this life, and there's no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are those ones who have heard the word, and I love the way the Lord says it, and I love the way Luke describes it, in an honest and good heart. That's what you got to have to hear the word of God. And hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Now it goes on. The Lord now is illustrating with a lamp about the importance of the Word of God and why the Word of God is critical as an instrument for us in our spiritual life. Now no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container, puts it under a bed, but he puts it on the lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. Nothing is hidden that will not become evident. What a wonderful truth this is, not only in the judgment of the Lord when everything is revealed, but you see the Word of God reveals hidden things to us. Nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. What a wonderful thing. The Word of God helps us with hidden and secret things. The book of Psalms says that God tells His secrets to His saints. So, notice His conclusion. This is really important now. Now this is the Lord's conclusion. So take care how you listen. Take care how you listen. Pay attention is what He's saying. For whoever is listening, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, whoever's not listening, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Let me read it another way. With a little bit more of a paraphrase. So pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. How do you use the Word of God, and how do you hear God's Word? This is the first thing I want us to talk about. Listening is a habit. We seek to train our children to be good listeners. We talk to our grandchildren about being good listeners. School teachers and others enforce the idea of being good listeners. We listen. We are slow to speak and quick to hear. Isn't that what James says? Listening. I'm asking you tonight, how's your listening? I'm not asking you about your physical. I'm asking you how How's your hearing? How's your spiritual hearing tonight? Not, you see, there's no time, there's not a time where we graduate from what I'm talking about. This is what happens sometimes in church. People kind of, you know, well, I've been in church all my life. I've heard all these things. Okay, and you need to hear them all your life. Amen. I used Ricky last week, and he is an excellent golfer, and I mean it sincerely. But let me tell you something. You don't get to be a good golfer if you don't practice. That's right. And you don't be a good golfer if you don't have good habits. Tom says you need to work on a few of your habits. But anyway, that's another thing. The point is, you know that. Whether you're a musician, you're an athlete, whatever, a skilled tradesman, someone who does woodwork, pick whatever you want. You know this. Habits are critical. Good habits. And this one is of such essential. Take care how you listen. Amen. Blessed are those, I'll go to the outline now. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That's what the Lord said. You hear it and you do it. So hearing God's word leads to faith in God. There's not a one of us in this room who became a Christian unless we heard God's word. We heard it at some point in our life like we'd never heard it before. Amen. We heard that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day. He's ascended to heaven. He's coming again. We heard it and we heard the words. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Amen. We heard it. Yes. And we believed it. Faith comes by hearing. So as I'm reading God's Word, look, it's not only when I got saved, but here's my point. We're talking about this on Sunday mornings because as your pastor, you know I'm very concerned that we talk about hope and despair in these days. There's a lot of people struggling at all ages with despair and discouragement and anxiety. How do I overcome that? How do I grow in my faith? You got to pick this up. Amen. This is really important. Amen. When my doctor says to me, after I had my cancer and we have all this things you have to go through and all this regimen of medical things, you have to do the things you're supposed to do to stay alive. Are you doing what you need to do to spiritually be strong, to endure? It's not waking up and saying, well, you know, I'm saved and I'm just going to grit my teeth and somehow make it through. You're not. You must feed yourself. Hear God's word with repentance. Put aside, what does James say? Put aside all filthiness and all that remains. See, there's a way we approach the word of God, and I think we're too flippant about this. When I open my Bible, first I must make sure I'm ready to read these holy, glorious, mysterious, majestic, unbelievable words. And by the way, I'll try to remember. Terry, you got to remember, text me this. I want to send you a link because I want you to, if you will, go out and watch a brief presentation about how you got your English Bible. Now, I could read this to you in Greek tonight, but it probably wouldn't be too helpful. But this Bible's in our mother tongue. We have the privilege of reading this Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, in our language. It's a very special thing. I don't worship the Bible, but without it, I can't walk with God.
Amen.
I can't put on a new heart. How are you using your Bible? Put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. In humility, receive the word implanted. See, this never ends. You don't ever come to the word of God thinking you know more than the word of God. You come to it and say, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the separation of the soul and the spirit, and able to discern the thoughts and the intents of your heart.
Amen.
And mine. I come to this holy book because it's like no other book. It is God-breathed and it is God's holy word. Every word matters and every word is perfectly given to us. You see, God's word, we hear it with repentance and humility, and we come to God's word to learn what God has to say to us. Lord, what do I need to know? Pick it up. Read it. Here's what you're going to find. People will come to me when they're troubled and say, well, where do I go to read about this? Well, here's the point. Your ongoing reading is how you feed your soul and help yourself solve these troubling questions you have. You can't just dump into one. It's not divided into subject topics. For trouble, I go over here, and for riches, I go over here. No. The whole of this comes together as God's Word to help you. And as I learn God's Word, I learn God's ways.
Amen.
I learn God's values, and I adopt them as my own. A lot of people pound on the Bible and talk about how wonderful it is and preach about it, but I don't want to be one of those preachers, and I've been around some who can preach a Bible verse, but they don't ever read their Bible. That's puzzled me all my life. Telling everybody to read their Bible, the leaders don't read their Bibles, or they've quit reading them. You never graduate from hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
We hear God's Word because it saves us. We hear God's Word because it grows us. Like newborn babes long for the pure milk of the Word, so that you may grow in respect to salvation. So now, well, close to 50 years. I started preaching when I was 14. 68, you can do all the math. I'm getting close. Long in the tooth, Stuart, long in the tooth. I've been watching people how they listen to preaching all my life. It's amazing. I've seen people lay down when you're preaching. I've seen them go to sleep. I've seen them, they look worse than if they had to go to the dentist to get a root canal. But I've also seen people prepared, ready, listening, trying to receive. It's not about the preacher. It's about what the preacher preaches. I'm asking you this because you're here tonight doing this while I'm preaching and while I'm teaching. But on Sundays, we have the pulpit in the center of our platform because we believe it's a raised platform, because the preaching of the Word of God, not the preacher, is critical.
Amen.
It's our practice.
Amen.
I want to challenge you to think about what it's when you get... Getting ready for Sunday to go to church is good. You clean up, you put on fresh clothes, and you come down here. But do you prepare your heart and your mind? Do you do what James says? Do you do what the Lord says? Are you prepared to listen when you get here? This pastor tries to give you ahead of time what I'm going to be talking about. You know what I'm going to be preaching for the whole series on hope and despair? My prayer is that you prepare yourself by reading it ahead of time. So Psalm 27 is this week. Psalm 30 is next week. I'll do my part to be prepared, but you have to do your part to be prepared. You have to be prepared to listen attentively. You have to hear it personally. This is for me. So you have to come and say, when you're coming to preaching, you say, this is for me. This is not for somebody else. This is for me. You hear it faithfully. You hear it week in, week out. You listen. You pay attention. Preachers aren't always at their best. I'm not always at my best. Some weeks I am better than other times. It's the human condition. We do in church something that's not done anywhere else. When you see someone preaching the Word of God, that doesn't happen in any other setting. It's not like some presidential candidate giving a speech. Preaching is completely different.
Right.
You're seeing something mysterious and spiritual, and there's conflict when God's Word is preached. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Hear it believingly and hear it obediently. When I leave, our practice has always been, Pat and myself, well, what did we receive from that? We used to ask our children. We ask our grandchildren through the days. What did you learn today? What did you hear God say to you today from His Word? Reading God's Word. Number two, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Lord Jesus said, take care how you listen. And the Lord Jesus said, We don't live by bread alone. We live off the Word of God. We eat this book. Are you hearing me? We eat this. I have to learn to eat this book. My burden here, for however long God lets me be here, I've told the pastors, teach every generation how to hear God's Word, read God's Word, study God's Word, memorize God's Word, and meditate on God's Word. And we will have done a good job. Amen. That's the job. Now I'm going to ask you these questions, and I'm not trying to offend you. I've asked them to myself first. Have you ever read your Bible? Don't answer out loud. Have you ever read your Bible? I'm stunned by the fact of how many people come to this place. If the percentages and studies on people reading the Bible is accurate, and I believe it is, there's a large percentage of our people who never read their Bible. Now they got time to read their newsfeed, worrying about who's going to get elected president. Worried about what the Federal Reserve is going to do about interest rates. Man, that's a life changer, isn't it? Reading our news feeds, listening to our favorite shows, don't read our Bible. Somewhere along the way, pastors and churches have failed. I don't want us to be a failure, and I don't want to be a failure. So I'm going to challenge all of our people. We record this. I'm talking to all of you and, you know, a good group of our people. I'm trying my best to say this. I try to say it repeatedly over and over. Read your Bible. Like my doctor, take your medicine. Mike, why are you so stubborn? Take your medicine. Just do it. Second question is, did you read your Bible today? Don't answer out loud. No, I'm talking about, did you read your Bible? I don't mean like one verse. For God so loved the world. Amen. No. Did you read your Bible? Well, Pastor Mike, I don't live in a sheltered world like you. I got to go to work. I got a real job. I mean, I'm not like you. I got real stuff in my life. You're just up here all the time. You live in the fantasy world. I really don't. You want to know about my life? I'll tell you about it sometime. I have to read my Bible. Amen. You want your pastor to read his Bible. You want every deacon in this church to read their Bible. You want every pastor in this church to read their Bible. You want every teacher who teaches to read their Bible. How many of our people read their Bible today? Oh, Pastor Mike, I remember when I used to give my offering in that little envelope. Well, me too. You check it off. Read your Bible. Why'd they put that on there? Because it's a habit we're trying to teach. Oh, I used to read my Bible when I was a teenager. Well, why did you stop? Have you memorized it all? You got it all down? Did you read your Bible today, and why do you not read your Bible? There can be some good excuses, and truly, some people have said through the years, well, I don't know how to pick a Bible, and this is a true story. We led a dear friend of ours, her name's Beth, out in California so many years ago. Pat and I laugh about it sometimes. We've laughed with Beth about it. Beth came to know the Lord. She was so desirous and hungry. And so we were doing Bible study with a group of our people to help Beth and others come along. We were reading from different translations. She was in shock. Beth's not alone. There are a lot of people like Beth about what I'm about to say. After it was over, Beth came to me. She said, I never realized that there were different translations of the Bible. I just thought there were red ones, black ones, green ones. You didn't get it, did you? I'm not making that up. We don't just pop out of the baptistry knowing all about the Bible. Why don't you read your Bible? Some people can't read their Bible. They can't read well. Some of our dear people, not only here but other places in my ministry, have said to me, Pastor Mike, I just am not able to read well. Good news, take this device and go to your Bible app and play it. Play it. Play it in your car. Play it in your place. Play it. I do respect that. I understand that. When people have the inability to read and comprehend at a certain level, that's fine, but there are tools. No excuse. That's still reading your Bible. Read your Bible as a discipline. All Scripture is inspired by God, profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, for training in righteousness. You see, the Word of God disciplines us. When I read it, I'm disciplining myself. I'm starting to think about things that matter. You see, the Bible has its own voice. It has the voice of the Holy Spirit. There's a tone and a voice in the Word of God like no other book you read. When you begin to read it, there's a voice. There's a tone. There's a uniqueness about these words. Read God's Word with preparation. I pray this every morning. Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. And then I want to say this, read with a reading plan. You know why I'm telling you? Now, I have it right here. This is the one we're using. We rotate these at the church. Maybe we don't talk enough about it, and that's probably my fault. You can criticize me for that. But why do we do this? Because, see, here's what happens. Somebody comes to know the Lord, and they go, well, where should I read first? Here's the answer. Take this. In 5 minutes, 5 days a week, you can read the New Testament in a year. Here's the answer. Where do I start reading? Pick this up, go home. It just says week one. Start reading in Mark. Check it off when you read it. Read it, check. Then you go to Acts. Then you go to Hebrews. Just follow the plan. I'm amazed at how many people who teach the Word of God and who pride themselves in being leaders of God's people don't have a reading plan. You know, pick whatever ball team you're for. They have an eating plan, exercise plan, stretching plan, practice plan, game plan. We just kind of go, well, you know, I felt like I'd just go over here. Lord, speak to me today. And here I am over here in Kings. What in the world? What? For what? Oh, I've read all these Bible plans. Great. Congratulations. Read another one. I'm exhorting you tonight because some people don't read because they don't have a plan. We have a plan for a church. If you have your own plan, then read your plan. But read it.
Yeah.
Read your plan. Amen. And plan to read. And then I come with this little thing here. What I read is spiritual. I'm comparing spiritual words with spiritual thoughts. This is Corinthians I'm quoting from here. And the Holy Spirit is taking these spiritual words and spiritual thoughts from this book and putting things in my mind. And all of my life, I'm thankful for the teachers I had, taught me a long time ago, every day when you read, write down what God said to you. See, this is a real thing we're doing here.
Amen.
So my journals, they show me a pattern of what God's trying to say to me. I can't remember all of that with all of this spinning in my life. I said to a couple today who are going through some things, I said, by the way, you're going through a lot of things, but you got to read your Bible. even though you're going through a lot of things. And then you've got to write down what God says to you. It's not hard. Well, Pastor Mike, I don't write long things. Look, you can't read my writing. I flunked, penmanship. But I don't either. I make a line. Here's my statement. Here's what I got, and there's a line. I just made a line. Which means, okay, next time, here's the next line. Come up with your own way. Put it on your phone. Be sophisticated. This is something, you see, I have this with me while I'm reading. Look, I'm not talking to you any about what I do for sermon preparation and all my teaching time. That's separate. I'm talking about what I do as a Christian. I'm testifying. This is what Christians do. This is what we're teaching the children to do, and we're teaching the students to do. Journaling is not an option. You got to write down what God's telling you so that you can remember it and you can go back to it. This will bring great encouragement to you. But you know what? Take some effort.
That's right.
And then marking your Bible. Oh, Pastor Mike, I cannot touch my Bible. It's a sacred, holy document. What kind of talk is that? Mark those things up. Find your own way to do it. I'll try to remember. Terry put it down to remind me. D.L. Moody, the old revival preacher, had a great little section on how to mark your Bible. I'll remember. I'll try to remember and attach it and bring it next week. So mine is, this is my preaching Bible. This is my study Bible. But, so you can't see it. So I do yellow and pink. And then I circle. Well, it's just over time you come up with your own way. Circle means something, pink means something, and yellow means something. Well, now this is a preaching Bible, so it's their cues to me as I'm preaching. Mark your Bible. And then mark it again. And then mark on top of your marks. And then mark on them. And then when you have your Bibles and they're marked up, go back and look at your old Bibles you marked up. You know what it'll tell you? Here's what God was saying to you. I have my old 1974, I'm a New American Standard person. I have my old 1974 New American Standard. It was my Bible that Pat gave me when we got married. I've used it all those years. I got married when I was 20. So, I'm using that thing, wore it out, put two covers on it. Finally got the next 97. So I was just looking at my notes. These are the notes of a 20-year-old who doesn't have a clue, by the way. Look what you've done. Go back and look at your religious, spiritual heritage. If you have children, tell them that you have these. Read to them from what you've learned. Show them how you mark your Bible. It's all habits. They're habits that will save you. I'm only going to get started on this and next practical things for you next week. Study God's Word. Some people think that studying the Bible is what only preachers and missionaries and teachers do. That's totally nonsense. Every time you read God's Word, every time you hear God, see, the thread starts when you hear it. You go to church and you hear Pastor Mike or whoever it is, you hear something. And a lot of our people do note. Make a note of that passage or that word or that verse. Then, okay, follow that thread. The Holy Spirit's starting something with what you heard. Go home and read. Read around where that was, where you were hearing preaching. Or as you're reading your plan, these threads. I believe this is the way the Holy Spirit speaks to us. He points out this. He points out that. That's why when you're in a Bible study group, like on Sunday mornings in our Sunday school times, you're hearing people talk about what they're hearing from God's Word. That's a wonderful thing. The Holy Spirit's speaking to people through the same book, for all of their different circumstances. It's a glorious mysterious thing. But then you follow the thread, then you start to study it. The Jews in Thessalonica were more noble than the ones Paul had talked to before. They received the word. I'm reading from the outline. They received the word with all eagerness, examining scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Paul declared to them, Jesus Christ is a promised Messiah. And he gave it to them from the Old Testament prophecies. And these were noble Jews, and they checked it out. Let's go to the Scripture. Scripture means the writings. Let's go to the writings. Let's see if Moses said this was so. Let's see if David said this was so. Let's see if the prophets said this was so. So there are a number of ways to study the Bible. And the first and the most primitive, the most basic, is what I've sought to do here in my time, primarily with the groups that I have with in Bible study, is to teach people to read the Bible reflectively or meditatively. You ask, what do I see in the passage? What do I observe in the passage? What do I need to obey and what do I need to learn? It's just simple. You just ask yourself some questions as you're reading. And then just keep your paper alongside. And as you're reading, record. Record. Keep it. Keep it. Because you see, these layers build. You hear it, you read it, you study it, but then you start remembering it. You memorize it. And then, heaven on earth, I mean this sincerely, you meditate on it. So those will be the things that we'll talk about next week, and I'm not going to go any further tonight because our time is up. But I have three assignments for you. We're having homework because we're doing habits. Prepare and attend worship this week and practice listening. When you get in there, I'll try not to be a distraction. I really mean that. I got tickled. You know, I think I've told you the story. One of our children was with her grandparent, and they were down the aisle, coming down the hall, and said, "Pastor Mike, how are you?" I believe she's about 8. Yeah. And she said, "I have a question for you." "Sure." "Why do you wear the same thing every week?" And of course, the grandmother's going, "Oh my gosh, what in the world is this girl?" I said, "That is an excellent question. Because I don't want people worrying about what I wear. I want them to pay attention to what I'm saying. I'm not up there to give you a fashion show. The clothes, look, my coats are clean and my shirts are laundered. But I got about 4 and I rotate them." Now you know. A child sees more than you do. You do it because you don't want to detract from the Word of God. Any preacher who puts their attention on themselves is trying to be an entertainer, not a preacher. That's why you don't get a lot of jokes out of me. That's why you don't get a lot of commentary. That's not what I'm up there to do. My job is to take the Word of God, bring it to you as your pastor, and say, "Here's what I believe God has for us. Receive it, put it in your heart, and live for the Lord." Okay, read a chapter of God's Word. Choose a reading plan if you don't already have one and start reading. When do I have to? Do I have to wait till January? For heaven's sakes, no. Start tomorrow. And then choose a chapter you've read in your Bible to study. And then out of the chapter you read, choose a verse that seems to be presented to your mind, that sticks out, as we call it. And then just try to study the verse a little bit. And then apply it. My hymn for the night. Those of you who have not been with us, I do a hymn. I don't sing it, but I quote a hymn for the night. Oh, William Cowper. You have it, I believe. "A glory gilds the sacred page. A glory gilds the sacred page, majestic like the sun. It gives a light to every age. It gives but borrows none. The Spirit breathes upon the Word and brings the truth to sight. Precepts and promises afford a sanctifying light. Let everlasting thanks be thine for such a bright display as makes a world of darkness shine with beams of heavenly day. My soul rejoices to pursue the steps of Him I love till glory breaks upon my view in brighter worlds above." Now that wonderful hymn's worth thinking about. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, bless our time together. Bless my dear brothers and sisters. May we read the Word of God. May we hear Your Word. And may we obey it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great week.